Our text comes from 1 John chapter 5, but we're also going to read the last two question and answers of the catechism. Last week we looked at the sixth request or the sixth petition, which was question and answer 127. This week we're going to look at 128 and 129 to be the conclusion of our series on the catechism. But first let's read from 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 13 through 15. If you're using the Pew Bible, that's 1186. 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. And that's as far as reading from John. And then in the back of our Psalter hymnals, this is page 63. Page 63, question and answer 128. What does your conclusion to this prayer, to the Lord's Prayer, mean? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever means, we have made all these requests of you because, as our all-powerful King, you not only want to, but are able to give us all that is good. And because your holy name, and not we ourselves, should receive all the praise forever. And then 129, what does that little word, amen, express? Amen means this is sure to be. It is even more sure that God listens to my prayer than that I really desire what I pray for. That's as far as reading in the catechism this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how are we to end our prayers? Most of us were taught when we were children that when we come to the conclusion of our prayer, we say, in Jesus' name, amen. But why do we do that? Children, do you know why your parents taught you to conclude your prayers, in Jesus' name, amen? Is amen simply something that we're used to doing? We don't really know what it means, but we just keep doing it because we're taught to do it. Is amen simply like saying, I'm all finished? Could we do that? When we're done with our prayers, say, and that's it, God. Is that how we could conclude our prayers? Or is there something unique in the word amen, more than a reflex response? It's like you see someone, one of your friends sneezes, your response is, God bless you. It kind of comes out of us. Far too often, that's what happens with our prayers. We come to the end of our prayers, we say amen, and it's more like a secondary thought. We don't know how to end our prayers any other way, so we say amen. But today we are going to see that in saying this word amen, we find a whole conclusion wrapped up in comfort. That this word amen brings us not only to the beginning of our prayers, but it brings us all the way to the beginning of the catechism. That in saying amen, we are reminded that we are God's children, speaking to an all-powerful God who loves us, and that encourages us, reminds us that prayer is a heart of thankfulness, that prayer comes from a grateful heart. The catechism says prayer is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. So today we see at the end of the Lord's Prayer, and indeed at the end of the catechism, that how our faith in saying amen, our faith is being brought to our mind. And we're going to look at this theme. Jesus Christ enables us to say our amen because He is faithful. And yet, as you look at question and answers 128 and 129, you will see that there's no petition here. We are not asking anything of God. We are simply responding to what God has said. It's a doxology, if you will, and a confession of faith. So in this word, what does it mean? Amen. Amen. Well, amen is a well-known word that we find often in Scripture. The book of Revelation concludes, as we all know, amen, come, Lord Jesus. In fact, many doxologies, many anthems of praise that are directed towards God in Scripture are concluded with this word, amen. Even 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, to him be the glory forever and ever, amen. Well, in order to understand what this word amen means, we have to remember that it comes at the conclusion of the doxology, at the conclusion of our prayers, a prayer that has been taught to us by Jesus Christ. We, in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own ability, do not have the right or the insight in order to insert this word, but rather being taught by Jesus Christ, being given a heart of faith and a spirit of wisdom by Christ, we are shown how and why we can say amen. Now, the word amen simply means, so shall it be, or it shall be confirmed, or it is true. If you're looking at the Catechism, question answer 129 begins, this is sure to be. Amen is not only a word that we would say to each other, but it's also a word that we are confessing to God in our prayers. When we say amen, we are saying in our prayer to God, this is true. It means that our prayers are right. Well, how can we, as sinners, have the boldness to say in our prayer, my prayer is right? What I have asked for is true, is good. Well, we remember that this is the prayer that Jesus taught us. Jesus taught us how to pray. And since Jesus taught us how to pray and gives us the heart to pray, we can say amen. If Jesus didn't teach us how to pray, if Jesus didn't give us a heart of faith in order to pray, if we were not children coming before the throne of a Father who has embraced us, we couldn't say that word. We could not say amen unless Jesus would teach us and enable us to pray. So when we say at the end of our prayers, my prayer is right, it is true, we are confessing that what we have said is in accordance with what God has revealed in his word as Jesus taught us how to pray. When David brought the ark back, the ark of the covenant back to the tabernacle, this is in 1 Chronicles 16, he prayed these words, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the congregation, all the people said amen, and they praised the Lord. So in saying amen, we are confessing that what I have said in my prayer is true, but it is also, as Christians, when we say amen, we are making a declaration of belief. We are confessing that what we have said is what we desire. Not only something we have been taught that's in accordance with truth, but it's also something we yearn for. Not only something that is right and true, it is a cry of my heart. When I say amen, I am speaking as a Christian from the heart of faith. This is what I want. What I've said in my prayer is truly what I desire. Amen is a response of praise. In amen, the Christian says, so let it be. Let it be so, Lord. This is my desire. So we can see that we can approach prayer from these two perspectives as Christians. It is both a confession, as Jesus taught us, it's in truth, but it's also a desire. That's why many of the hymns that we sing together conclude with amen. It's a declaration, but also a desire. We can pray it with a heart of faith. I trust that what I have prayed is in accordance with truth, and I desire for what I prayed for, because you have taught me to pray. Now, in our prayer, that's not the only place we hear amen within the church, is it, children? Do you know at the end of this sermon, I will also say amen? Now, you may not know this, but when I say amen at the end of the sermon, that's not just an indication to the congregation, okay, the pastor's finally finished, now we can go on. When I say amen as a pastor at the end of the sermon, it is a declaration that I believe what I say, and I believe that it's true. that what I have said is in accordance with what God has revealed in his word. It is a declaration made in faith. So shall it be, because what I have said has been taught by the word of the Lord. Listen again to what we read in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. I read this a few minutes earlier. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Now, do you see the way that this builds upon each other, this progression? That if in our prayers we ask for what God has revealed in his will, if we haven't asked according to the things that God has taught us to ask for, then we can ask with the confidence of knowing that our prayers will not only be heard, but our prayers will certainly be answered. If we ask according to his will, he hears us, and if he hears us, we can know that he will give us what we ask. Therefore, we can, as John says, pray boldly with confidence. Confidence of children coming to the Father, knowing that our desires, the things that we pray for, are not just a human concoction of what we think is right. This isn't us as individuals saying, well, I think that this is a good idea, and so I'm going to pray for this. This is a Christian who knows the complete loving embrace of a Father, and the mind of Christ has been given to us, so that in faith we know that what we are praying for is what God has taught us to pray for. Thus, he hears us and will certainly give us what we ask because we pray according to his will. It is in that realm that we find confidence. Confidence in prayer to pray boldly. As James 4 reaffirms, you don't have what you're praying for because you're asking wrongly. You pray for things to satisfy your own pleasures. You crave and desire for things that God has not promised you. Thus, your prayers are not granted, James 4. But if our prayers are in line with the things that God has promised to give, then we can at the end of our prayers say amen, because it is true, it is certain, it will surely be given. Is it possible that God will not give the things that he has promised? Is that even possible? Is it possible for God to say, I will give you this, and then he not give it to us? That's where we find the confidence in prayer, to say amen. It is certain that what I have prayed for will be given because I have prayed for the things that God has promised. So then, our amen, it begins with our agreement, our trust coming from the heart of confidence. Yes, I believe it. Yes, I desire it. But the amen that we utter is not sufficient to make it come true, is it? Simply believing it doesn't make it happen. God is the one who must necessarily bring about the answer to our prayers. So not only do we need to say amen, God needs to answer our prayers with his amen. So even in our prayers, we find promise. In the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us, there are certain things that God has said he will do. Now notice there is a direct connection between the doxology and what we have asked for. The doxology is really an anthem of praise, truth that we confess that is certain, and it reflects what we have asked for in our prayer. Our doxology is a reflection of what God has revealed about himself. So the doxology which we have in the Lord's Prayer is, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We're not asking, we're saying, God, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. The things that we desire are already here affirmed to be. What I mean by this is throughout these petitions, we have been asking for things that the doxology says God will do and is doing. Specifically, let's look at this. If we confess that His is the kingdom and the power and the glory. His is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So what have we prayed for? Well, in this prayer, we have said, we need food, Lord. We need forgiveness. But yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We need your kingdom to come, we have prayed for. And then we confess, yours is the eternal kingdom. We have prayed for his glory. And in the doxology, we say, yours is the glory. Do you see the connection between the petitions, what we have asked for, and the doxology? They mirror each other. The very things we have asked for that Jesus teaches us to pray for, in the doxology, we say, you have the power to do. So that is why in question and answer 128, the way that the catechism explains it, is that we're making these requests to you, O Lord, knowing that you are able to do it because you're all-powerful, but you desire to do it because you are our loving Father. So our amen is based on the promises of God. The petitions that we ask for are based on what God reveals about himself. Our prayer doesn't end with a whimper or a hopeless sigh, a question mark. In saying amen, we are shouting praise, as it were. God, you are faithful. All power belongs to you. You're able to do everything you set your heart on. Everything you will to do, you do. It's not a question. You will do it. All power is yours. All glory is yours. So when we pray, glorify your name, we know that you will glorify your name. When we pray for your kingdom to come and we acknowledge yours is the kingdom because you are the king, we are basing what we pray for on what is true. Listen to what Isaiah 65 says. Before they call upon me, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. Even while we are praying, God hears and answers our prayers. Even before we are finished praying, God knows what is on our heart. And he will see fit when we pray according to his will, when we pray according to his promises, he will give it. And in fact, God knows what we need better than we do ourselves. He knows our weakness, he knows our worries, he knows the groans of our hearts. Matthew 6 says, God knows it all, even before we ask. So the promise that we have in Scripture is that our prayers and the answer to our prayers are not limited even by our perfection in prayers. In fact, the Catechism says that it's even more certain that our prayers will be answered than we desire the thing we pray for. Ultimately, it's not up to how good we are at praying. But the ultimate answer to our prayers is linked to the promises of God. Sometimes because of weakness or sin, we desire something we shouldn't desire. Sometimes we pray for things that we shouldn't pray for. Sometimes we ask of God things which would be detrimental, would hinder our spiritual faith and walk with him. So then we can with confidence pray, your will be done. Mold me so that I am a follower of you. Make me a good citizen of the cross and follow after Christ. Give me my daily bread. Give me whatever I need that is for my good and for your glory. Exactly how that prayer will be answered, we leave to you. Because you know what is best for me. You know what is best for my family. You know what is best for my church. So when we say amen, it is also a humble confession. In saying amen, we say it is true, God, that you will answer our prayers as we need and for your glory. For you know better than I do myself. So then when we put the first two points together, we find that we can look at amen as something we desire, but also something which we confess because we are taught. And it is a humble confession. O Lord, do what you must do, for my good and for your glory. So let it be. Let it be as it must be. But no prayer is complete without God's answer, his amen. Knowing God's promise doesn't necessarily ensure that promise will be carried out. Is God faithful? The question we must wrestle with is God faithful? Simply giving us a promise doesn't necessarily mean that the promise will be carried out. But as we know, God is faithful. And it's impossible for God to promise something which he will not carry out. So then we look again at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. If you'd like to read along with me, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, where we find these words. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us, to the glory of God. No matter how many promises God has made, if God makes a promise, Jesus is the yes and the amen. That is why when we pray, children, we conclude our prayers in Jesus' name, amen, because the amen that is necessary, the amen of God, is secured in Jesus' name. Not only is Jesus the only way that we can approach God, he is the road, the avenue, he has torn the curtain, he grants access so that we can come to God, yes, that is true. We pray in Jesus' name so that our prayers will be heard and answered. But it is also equally true, any answer that we receive is found in Jesus' name. If we didn't approach God in Jesus' name, we couldn't come to God. And Jesus Christ is the yes and the amen. So that every promise, whatever how many promises there are, they are all found to be answered by Christ. So God gives his great amen to the prayers of his people. And this brings us back not only to the beginning of the catechism, but also to the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. The beginning of the Lord's Prayer, we started by praying to our Father. And as you remember, the catechism says, how can we pray to God as our Father? Because he has become our Father through Jesus Christ. How can we conclude our prayers, amen, unless Jesus is God's amen to guarantee every promise the Father makes will be fulfilled? So our praying to our Father is secured by Jesus Christ. Our amen, the answer of God, is secured by Jesus Christ. But jump all the way to the beginning of the catechism. Our only comfort in life and in death is that I'm not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That I belong to my faithful Savior. You see, Jesus is there at the beginning of our prayers. Jesus is there at the end of our prayers. Jesus not only teaches us how to pray, Jesus is the one who enables us to pray, sending us his Spirit. Jesus gives us the mind of Christ so that we can know how to pray. He is the avenue by which our prayers ascend into the presence of the Father. And Jesus is also there at the side of the Father, praying for us and interceding for us. And Jesus is the Father's amen, guaranteeing an answer to the prayers that we utter in his name. So as you can see, Revelation 3 verse 14 rightly says, Jesus is the amen. Revelation 3 verse 14, Jesus is the amen. He is the faithful and true witness. He is faithful. He can do it. Because of Jesus Christ, we can cling to the promises of the Father, knowing that not one of them will fall to the ground. So when God says to us, I work all things for your good and for my glory, we hold on to Jesus and we know that even in our prayers, we don't know exactly how that's going to work out, whether it's going to be difficult times or times of smiling providence, but we hold on to that promise because of Jesus Christ. We know that the promise of God cannot falter. It cannot fail. The promises of God are there set before us, and we utter them and we recite them in our prayers. We say, God, we don't understand how this trial is going to work out for your glory and for my good, but because you are faithful and your Son is the Amen, we can hold on to that. And we can know that the promises are sure. So we can dare to pray. Pray with boldness. Approaching the throne of grace with confidence. Because Jesus is our yes and our amen. So to conclude then, when we close our prayers in Jesus' name, we are reminded that our Jesus teaches us how to pray. He opens the way for us to pray. He is praying for us. And he also secures an answer to our prayers, being the amen to every promise of the Father. Our amen is built on Jesus Christ. That's why we can be thankful in our prayers, even thankful for the gift of amen. Isn't it awesome that we can close our prayers, amen, saying it's true, I believe it, you've revealed it, it's my confession, and I know, God, that you will hear and answer my prayer even more than I have desired what I've prayed for. You will answer my prayer because you are faithful, and you will do it. Even that little word amen is a gift of God's grace purchased for us in Jesus Christ. So say amen, not as a whimper, not as a question, but boldly built on the promise secured for us by Jesus Christ. Amen. So shall it be. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this gift of this little word, that we can be reminded that you are faithful, and that even when we don't understand what to pray for, don't know what to pray for, our weakness is hindering our prayers, we can only groan and utter the words of our hearts are put into words by your Spirit. This answer to our prayers secured by Jesus Christ. We thank you that Christ is the Amen, that he is faithful, that you are faithful, and you will do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.